Good evening. I'd like to start the meeting tonight by singing number 25. Life at best is very brief, like the falling of a leaf, like the binding of a sheaf, be in time. Fleeting days are telling fast that the die will soon be cast, and the fatal line be passed, be in time. We'll sing verse 3 only.
Time is gliding swiftly by, death.
Let's ask the Lord's help. Our God and Father, we give thanks that we can proclaim the gospel again of God's grace, the story of the Lord Jesus who came into this world to die because of our sins. And Father, we know everyone here is born a sinner, and there's a time for each one of us to be saved. And Father, it seems like tonight is a good time for someone to be saved. We just ask that our hearts and ears would be open, that we might hear the gospel and it might touch the hearts. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
You know, sometimes we have dreams, and when they're scary dreams, we call them nightmares. But the goodness of a scary dream is that you wake up and the dream is gone. And we realize it wasn't real and everything's okay. And so there's nothing to be afraid of. There's a sister in the assembly in Goma, in Congo. She and her husband were gathered there. And a few months ago, her husband, Brother Benoit, he's 70 years plus minus, he got a message that his brother was sick and in the hospital and needed some medicine. So he started walking over to that through one village to the hospital. And the village he had to go through was under the control of the M23. That's a rebel group that's in Congo. And they caught him and they said, "We've been looking for people like you. We're going to cut you up and kill you." And they said, "Do you want us to kill you slowly or quickly?" He said, "Please, let me go see my brother and take him some medicine, and then I'll come back and then you can kill me." "No, we're going to kill you right here and right now." Well, he had a Congo Swahili Bible under his arm that I had given him not too long before. And he said to them, "Here, take my Bible. I don't want to get any of my blood on the Bible." So they took his Bible and they cut him up. They killed him. Sister Elaine Eslena, she's not going to wake up from this nightmare. She lives in daily danger of her life and without her husband. When you are in hell, it will be so scary. But you'll never wake up out of hell. It is not a dream. It's a forever destiny. And you will be alive and alert and suffering alone in the darkness of hell. The terror will go on and on. The wages of sin is death. That means the penalty that you will pay because of your sin is eternal damnation in the lake of fire. And it is very difficult for us now as we think ahead to the time at the great white throne of judgment, when your hands and your feet are going to be tied together and you will be cast screaming into the lake of fire. And it gives me great concern tonight. Great concern in my soul. And to your mother. And to your father. And to the brothers and sisters who have been praying for your soul. To think that you are here tonight. Listening to the gospel. And then in the day of judgment. We find out that you rejected Jesus. The Savior of sinners. Let's sing number 4, verse 1.
Christ is the Savior of sinners.
Christ is the Savior for me. Long I've been singing since darkness. Now by His grace I am free.
Verse 3. Back in creation, God made man in the image of God. That means he had no sin. Adam and Eve were put in the Garden of Eden. They were sinless. And they had fellowship with God. And God came down in the mornings and or in the cool of the day. And he had fellowship with Adam and Eve. But then one day they disobeyed God and they ate the fruit and they became sinners. And because they became sinners, they were separated from God, had to be put out of the Garden of Eden where they had fellowship with God, but they had to be cast out of that garden. They were damned to the lake of fire in their condition of sin. And sin became an innate part of every human being. And sin passed down from Adam to Seth, to Noah, to your mom, your dad, and to you and me. And we were born with the seed of sin inside of us. And that seed produces sin in our lives. The seed of sin is part of every one of us. Just like, kind of like our DNA. And God says, the soul that sins, it shall die. We are guilty, not only because we do sins, but because we are damned because we have the seed of sin within us. Our penalty is death and hell. And the wrath of God against sin has condemned you already. There must be punishment. But death and judgment are not the heart of God. The heart of God is love. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son to take the punishment for your sin. And the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. And Jesus was willing to come into this world to die for your sins. And so Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. The Son of God, the Lord Jesus, He loved me and He gave Himself for me. For you, Christ died for our sins. At that time, as the Lord was dying on the cross, the Lord felt the anguish and the pain and the suffering. Was God angry with Jesus? No, but the anger of God was aimed at Jesus. And Jesus endured the wrath of God in the darkness while He hanged upon the cross. and the wrath of God came on Jesus like the waves of the ocean in a storm that roll in and pound on the rocks and one after another. I love sitting by the ocean watching the waves crash on the boulders and the spray going high. The wrath of God pounded down against Jesus like the waves of the ocean. There's a verse in Psalm 88 and verse 7. It says, "Your wrath lies hard upon me, and you have afflicted me with all your waves." You can just hear the Lord Jesus crying to the Father, "You're afflicting me with all your waves of judgment." And the verse says, all the waves, the waves of anguish, and the waves of emotional suffering, and the waves, the physical suffering by which he was beaten and whipped, and the thorns were put in his head, and they beat him into his head with a stick, and they spit on him, and they mocked him, and they crucified him. But none of this physical attack on the Lord Jesus, nothing man could do to Jesus, could take away our sins. Because it was the waves of the atoning suffering. It was the wrath of God that rolled over Jesus as he was punished for our sins. That is what paid for my sins. It was at this time, in the 3 hours of darkness, as Jesus endured the wrath of God, that Christ's anguish of soul was so great that his face was so marred more than any man's. I don't believe it was the physical beatings that marred his face in that way. It was the stress and the agony and the pain and the anguish of soul and the suffering of the wrath of God for sin that has marred his face so much. It was the anticipation and then the actualization of being made sin for us that was so stressful to Jesus to have sin put on him as he hanged there on the cross during the crucifixion, and the waves and the billows rolled over Jesus. When I was a child, maybe 10 years old, there was another family in the assembly, and they had some foster kids. There were three of them, Mark, Amos, and Robin. And the three of them, their father was a fisherman, the mother died, and the father couldn't care for the children, so they were fostered at the house of this brother and sister. And they came to Sunday school, the meetings, and so we got to know them real well. Well, sometimes they'd be at their father's house, and so I'd get my rowboat, and I'd carry it over and put it into the water on the other side of the street and row off around the island about a mile across the ocean to see the Robin, Amos, and Mark. Well, Amos and Robin, they decided they were each going to go fishing. They each bought their own big fishing boat, and they went out to fish. And one day, Amos was out fishing, and he came upon a storm, or a storm came upon him, and the wind and the waves, and somehow Amos was knocked overboard, and he was at the mercy of the waves. But you know, there is no mercy in those waves. That water in the North Atlantic Ocean is cold. All those waves and billows rolled over Amos. He momentarily struggled in the waves. And then Amos went down into a dark, cold, watery grave. The wrath of God is like the waves of water. And Jesus knows what it is like to have the waves and the billows of God's wrath roll over him like the waves of the ocean in a powerful storm. The storm that blew against Jesus Christ was described in verse 15 of Psalm 88. "I am afflicted and ready to die from my youth up. While I suffer thy terrors, I am distracted. Your fierce wrath goes over me. Your terrors have cut me off. They came round about me daily like water. They compassed me about together." As Jesus was sinking under the waves of God's judgment that were rolling over him out of the terror in the darkness, at about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice. And out of the waves of God's wrath, Jesus said, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why aren't you helping me?" This is what Jesus endured on the cross so that you would have a way of escape from the punishment of your sin. Jesus loves you that much. And after suffering for sin in the darkness for 3 hours, Jesus cried, "It is finished! It is finished." That was one of the most wonderful verses in the Bible. Psalm 42 in verse 7, it records it like this. "Deep calls unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me." Again, it's all the waves. Jesus took all the punishment of sin for you. It is finished. There is nothing left for you but the love of God. The storm of God's wrath against sin was completed. And then Jesus gave His Spirit into the hand of the Father, and He died. The body without the Spirit is dead. You know, they did not kill Jesus. Oh yeah, they crucified Him, but they didn't kill Him. Jesus gave His life for us. "Father, into thy hands I give you my spirit." And He died. And so the suffering was over. In Hebrews 10 and verse 10, Hebrews 10 verse 10, here we see that by the will of God, it says, "We are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all." So through one offering of the body of Jesus Christ, we are made holy once, and that's forever. Payment for sin was completed. After Jesus had offered one sacrifice for sins, He was able to sit down on the right hand of God. Why could He sit down? Because the work was done. The work was done forever. And with that one sacrifice of Himself for sin, He forever put away your sin. No sin will be held against you. The guilt of your sin will be gone when you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And then you can have peace with God. In Psalm 103 and verse 12, it says, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us." You can't, east is east and west is west, and never the two shall meet. Our sins are far away. They're gone. Some believers, they get concerned about their salvation, because if they do some sin, like maybe they tell a lie, or maybe they get drunk, or maybe they get angry with their brother or sister, and then they die before they confess that sin to God, or they die before they can reconcile with their friend, they think, how could they possibly go to heaven? But if you think that way, it's a problem. Because somehow you are putting yourself under a law that you must be good. But if you could not be good enough to save yourself the first time, how do you think you can be good enough to keep yourself saved? Why are you thinking that your security of going to heaven depends on your ability to be good all the time? And why are you trying to remember all of your sins so that you would be able to confess all of the sins you ever committed? It's impossible. Nobody can remember all their sins. If you forgot one sin, you'd forever be damned. But that's not the way God works. It is true. It is true that the believer confesses sin to restore communion with God the Father. But the Bible never tells us to confess our sins to be saved or to keep ourselves saved. We are not kept by the power of confession. We're not kept by the power of a good living life. We are kept by the power of God. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. 1 Peter 1, verse 5. It says, "You who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." So when you believe on the Lord Jesus, and you trust the Lord Jesus to take away all of your sins, you are forever saved. I have a question for us to think about. If Jesus thought so much about you in past eternity, and He chose you, and He wrote your name down in a book, the Lamb's Book of Life, and He wrote that down before the foundations of the world, and if Jesus suffered so much on the cross to save you, and if Jesus paid such a big price to save you, if Jesus loves you that much that He was willing to die for you, do you think Jesus is going to let you get away from Him? Do you think He could lose you out of His hands? In John chapter 10, these are really good verses to help you understand the eternal security that you have in Christ. In John chapter 10 and verse 27, 28, 29, we'll read these. "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." The Lord Jesus calls you sheep. And if you know the Lord as His Savior, He calls you my sheep. You belong to Jesus. And it says you follow Him, and He knows you. He says, "I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." Excuse me. You're safe in the hands of the Lord Jesus. He's not going to let you get out of His hands. You're safe in the hands of the Father. You can't get out of the Father's hands. You are in double security in the hands of the Father and of the Son, the Lord Jesus. You are safe forever. You are kept by the power of God. And these verses say you will never perish. You need to believe what God says and trust Him. We cannot imagine that Jesus would cast you into the lake of fire if you failed and you sinned after you were saved. No, you are a child of God. That is, He came to save you from the penalty of sin, to save you from death and hell. And when you put your trust in the Lord Jesus, all your sins are removed, no matter when you commit them, whether it was before you're saved or after you are saved. All your sins are gone. They're gone forever. We used to sing a little song when we were kids. It's underneath, "My sins are gone." And it was underneath the blood of the cross of Calvary. "As far removed as darkness is from dawn, in the sea of God's forgetfulness, that's good enough for me. Praise God, my sins are gone." And so our sins are gone. Gone as far as the east is from the west. So far has He removed my sins. Jesus will never bring... Why don't we sing a short hymn before we continue? Number one. Sing the first verse. Someone can start that, please.
Thank you.
Are you going to call on Jesus today? It's your opportunity. And if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus will never bring any of your sins to you on judgment day and say, "Hey, you forgot to confess this sin, so you must go to the lake of fire." No, it can't happen. Hebrews 8 verse 12 says, "Their sins and iniquities will I remember no more." Jesus took the punishment of all your sin. That is what Jesus means when he says, "I will remember them no more." He doesn't remember? Does that mean, does God forget? No. God does not remember your sins as being against you. Because the guilt is gone. The sin is gone. And Jesus won't bring any sin to you on judgment day and say, "You can't come into heaven." No, it's not like that. Jesus knows he paid the price to cover all of your sins whenever you committed them. Today or tomorrow, they are covered by the blood of Jesus forever. God has already punished Jesus for all of your sins, the past, the present, and the future. His blood has already washed them off of your record. God is not going to charge you again for your sin. God has accepted Jesus' payment for your sins. And the justice of God has been satisfied. And that is why God received Jesus back into the glory of heaven. Because your sins are gone. Now that you are saved with eternal life, Jesus brought you into a relationship with God as your Father. Now you are a child of God. And if you sin, maybe you tell a lie, or you throw sand at your sister, or you tease and pester your sister until she screams. Maybe you are jealous or selfish. If these things happen when you are a believer and a child of God, you will need to repent and confess the sin to God. You can't go and just sin anyhow you want because you are saved. And because you can't lose your salvation, no. If that's the way you think, you're not saved. Because a true believer doesn't think that way. You have broken your fellowship with God, and you need to fix your fellowship with God, your Father, by confessing that sin, so you can be at peace while you are living here on earth. But your eternal destiny with Christ in the Father's house in heaven is secure. And it's all because of the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from every sin. Some people try hard to live a good life. They try to assure their acceptance with God. And in Romans chapter 10 and verse 2 and 3, it says, "I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God." If you believe on the Lord Jesus, but you refuse to believe that your sins are gone, how can you go to heaven? You are not trusting the work of Christ. You are trying to establish your own righteousness. And if you doubt that the finished work of Christ will cover all of your sins, you'll never have peace. And if you believe that you must confess all your sins every time you sin before you finally get to heaven, you'll never be sure of your salvation. Because how can any of you remember all of your sins? So if you are not trusting Jesus for your salvation, who are you trusting? Yourself? Who do you think you are? Are you more holy than Jesus? Are you stronger than God? If you're not trusting Jesus, sorry, there's no other sacrifice for you. Hebrews 10 verse 26 is very plain. "For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remains no more sacrifice for sins. So it is Jesus or nothing. Who are you going to trust? Jesus took the punishment for the sins of whoever would believe on him. There was a man in the Bale Assembly in Malawi. His name is Nedson. He's a blind brother. He has a big Braille Bible. It's about this big. And he can move his finger across all the little bumps and he can read the Bible. And he lives on the other side of the river. And the only way to get across the river is on a bamboo bridge. And he lives back in a remote area. So he crosses this bridge. He's got his little cane and he walks over this bamboo bridge. It's about 100 feet long, maybe 150 feet long. And there's holes in the bamboo and he can walk along and just walk along just like he's walking down the city street. But if I try to walk on it, it wobbles and shakes and it's hard to keep your balance. Well, one day his 14-year-old daughter, she slipped off and she fell into the river and she died. She drowned. It's so easy to die. Look what happened in Texas here. Our brother was telling us that so many little girls at the camp were washed away in the water, dead. If that was you, where would you be? It's so easy to die from a car accident or a disease. You might fall out of a tree. There might be a fire in your house. You might be struck by lightning. When I was a child, some of you know Mr. Norman Berry. He took us to one summer. We had the gospel tent there, and he took us to the creek for swimming. And they had rocks and boulders on the side of the stream. And so I dove off the rocks down into the water. Only I didn't jump out far enough, and I landed on my head on the rocks below and landed in the water. And Mr. Berry was able to pull me out and take me to the hospital. And as he drove me back to my parents' house, he asked me, "Tim, if you would have died in this accident, would you go to heaven?" "Oh, yeah. Well, he brought me to the house. My mom and dad got in the car and they drove me to the hospital. My dad asked me the same thing. "Tim, if you would have died today, where would you be? Would you be in with the Lord Jesus?" "Oh, yes. It's easy to say yes. What's in your heart? Later that summer, Mr. Berry had a very strong gospel about the lake of fire and the judgment for sin and the love of God. And I made sure I got saved that night. I didn't want to go anymore without knowing whether I was saved or not. But many of us have had close calls with death. Are you ready to die? Have you put your trust in the death of the Lord Jesus? Why haven't you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior? Tonight is your opportunity. You can be saved tonight. You can get ready. It's your night to be sure that you have eternal life. Do you want to be sure you're saved tonight? One time you thought you were saved, but then you weren't so sure. And you remember the time when you asked Jesus to save you. And you remember that you confessed your sin. And maybe you remember that you started trying to live a little better life. And you stopped doing those things that you knew were bad. But sometimes you struggle to know if you are saved or not. That's normal until you get assurance. I want to look at a few verses before we close to help us know that you have eternal life. And the Bible even says that these verses have I written unto you that you might know that you have eternal life. So it is possible to know that you have eternal life. You know, Jesus Christ did not die on the cross to make you worry about your salvation. No, Jesus died on the cross so you could know that you have eternal life. Well, in Genesis 1:1 it says, "In the beginning God." What's one thing you need to believe? You need to believe there is a God. God, everything started with God. Another point that you need to know is that if you don't believe when Jesus said this, he said, if you don't believe that I am, you shall die in your sins. So I am means he's the Almighty God. Do you believe that Jesus is the Almighty God? Do you believe that Jesus is God? It is very important to believe that Jesus is God, not just in your mind, but in the way you live your life. Another verse might be in Romans 3:23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the point that you need to realize in this verse is that you're lost in sin. And when we think of the glory of God, we think of His holiness, His sinlessness, His righteousness, His majesty, His sovereignty, His love, His grace. And we realize we have come short of the glory of God. Another verse in Titus 3, verse 5. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. The point in this verse is, believe that there's nothing good in you. There is nothing that you can do that can satisfy God in order to have your sins taken away. We are justified by His grace. Another verse might be 1 Peter 2, verse 24. Who His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness. The point here, I believe, is this. Do you want to be saved? Do you want to receive eternal life? Believe that Jesus died for your sins. The punishment of sin is death, and Jesus took the death for you. He died to take the punishment for you. Then there's another verse, Romans 10 and 9. If you believe in your heart that God hath raised Jesus from the dead, you shall be saved. You need to believe that Jesus has risen from the dead. We don't have a dead God. No, Jesus rose from the dead. We remember a person who went into death, but He rose from the dead. Now there's a man in heaven, the Lord Jesus. He's not a spirit. He's a spirit too, but there's a man in heaven. Jesus Christ is in heaven. And so it's very important to understand the resurrection. And it's necessary for us to get to heaven, because if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, if Jesus didn't go back to heaven, how would we be able to rise from the dead? And so we know the Lord Jesus rose from the dead so you could be saved. Now another really important verse, John 5:24. Maybe you could look that one up. John 5, verse 24. John 5, verse 24. He that hears my word and believes on Him that sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Maybe you think you are saved, but you're worried whether you're really saved or not. When we believe in Jesus, it takes a measure of trust. And what does this verse say? You believe. You have eternal life. You are not condemned. You're passed from death unto life. You've made a transition from being on the way to hell to the way to heaven. From a lost eternity to an eternity with Christ in the Father's house. And so for us to have assurance of salvation, we must believe what God says and trust Him. You know, it's impossible for God to lie. That verse gave me assurance. It's impossible for God to lie. And so if God says, I'm saved, if He says I have eternal life, if He says I will never perish, I believe that. I believe God because He says it in the Word of God. And so it is possible for you to know that you are saved. Well, Jesus is coming soon. Maybe today. Are you ready to trust Jesus so you can go to be with Him? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Let's sing number 9. We better sing the first verse and the second verse.
Come.
If anybody wants to have assurance of their salvation or wants to be saved, or if you want to talk about it, I'll be here today, tomorrow. Let's pray. Our God and Father, we give thanks for this time we've had together to think about the Lord Jesus and His finished work on the cross. We just pray that anyone who does not yet know the Lord Jesus, that they might accept You as their Savior, Lord Jesus. And Father, we pray for help to that we might each have assurance of our salvation. We know sometimes Satan likes to make us distracted and put doubts in our mind. Father, we just ask for help to be able to put those doubts aside and trust the Word of God and trust the Lord Jesus. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.